I would like to read first in the book of Genesis, chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now the book of the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 38, Isaiah 38 and verse 17. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sin behind thy back. Now Genesis chapter 35. Genesis 35 and verse 16. And they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrath, and Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said unto her, Fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. And Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. Now a final reading in the Gospel by Mark, and chapter 8. Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, and verse 36. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Now we trust the Lord will add a blessing to his word, and help us to preach the gospel from these scriptures that we have read. In Genesis chapter 2, we have read of a living soul. In Isaiah chapter 38, we have read of a loved soul. And in Genesis chapter 35, we have read of a leaving soul that is leaving time for eternity. Rachel breathed her last, and while her soul was in departing, for she died. That's a solemn moment when one comes to cross from the borderline of time into the great eternity, never to come back again. We read from Mark's Gospel chapter 8, that solemn scripture of a lost soul. For what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You see, you and I have got something that is priceless. It cannot be valued in dollars and cents. The value the Lord Jesus Christ put upon the soul, even to gain the world and lose your soul, that's a tremendous loss. And the greatest loss that you could ever have would be the loss of your soul. We have known men that have lost their wealth. I remember a man that lived in this city, and he made lots of money. I remember the time he walked out of his house. All he owned was the clothes that he had. He lost all his wealth. but he regained wealth in years to come. We have known people that have lost their health. That is, they've been healthy and strong. All of a sudden, something happened. They were in the hospital for a long time, wondering would they ever be able to walk again or do the things that they once did. It's possible for a person that has lost their health to regain their health. But dear friend, tonight let us impress your soul. To lose your soul is such a loss, there's nothing can restore. For what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world? And there's no hope of you or I ever gaining the whole world. We have known those who have gained quite a bit, but yet it was only a small portion in relation to the whole world. But a person may get all they want, live as high as they can, and then, friend, to die in their sin, what's the gain? Would that be a gain if I made all the money I wanted to make? If I had the best time possible? If I enjoyed health all my life and lived it up? And then in the end, to die in my sin and go down to hell, would that be a profit or would that be a loss? Businesses in this city, at least once a year, they take stock. Whether they're making money or losing it, they cannot afford to continually be on the losing side. Friend, tonight, take stock with the profit and loss for eternity. What is it going to profit you? Should you get all you want? Enjoy yourself to the full. And then in the end, lose your soul. Do you know of anything that's more valuable than the loss of your soul? What you would sell your soul for? We trust that you'll take stock. Have you counted the cost if your soul should be lost? Though you gain the whole world for your own, even now it may be that the line you have crossed, have you counted? Have you counted the cost? You see, God draws line. He gives people opportunities to repent of their sin and get right with God. And when they cross the line, then it's too late. We have a line drawn in the Gospel by Luke chapter 19. The Lord Jesus Christ had visited Jerusalem. He had done many wonderful works in that city. He was right in their very midst. That whole city had the opportunity of believing on him and receiving everlasting life. But he had to weep over that city. Hot, scalding tears. Why? He says they knew not the time of their visitation. We firmly believe that there's souls in this meeting, and it's your time of visitation. That is, God has visited you. You have had serious thoughts about your soul. You have been disturbed in your sin, and yet you're lingering. You know that you need to be saved. You know that you should be saved. And I think that you would agree, the most important matter under heaven is to get this matter settled. But yet, there's something that hinders you, that you think, well, I get saved all right, but not tonight. Those kind of people never get saved. Lingering souls never get God's salvation. Take a warning from Lot's wife. While they linger, then she held the hand of an angel. You mean to say hold the hand of an angel, die in your sins, and go down to hell? Lot's wife did. That's how close she came to a heavenly being. But yet she stopped short of obeying God's word. Her soul was knit to Sodom. She had friends in Sodom. She had possessions in Sodom. And she didn't want to lose them. In other words, she did not believe God. Maybe that's what problem with someone are meeting tonight. You do not believe God. We preached in Sydney Mines in a tent this past summer. There was a dear man came to those meetings. And he told his nephew, he says, I don't like their preaching. I don't like this hell-deserving bit. He says, I've done the best all my life. He says, I'm not hell-deserving. But thank God he continued to come. And he came many times. And at the end, he was a little turned the other way. He acknowledged that he was a sinner. And that there's a possibility of me being in hell. But really not willing to admit he was hell-deserving. Well, you see, if you don't admit the truth, God condemns all. All under sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it has been preached oftentimes right down through the years that the sinners that get God's salvation, their mouths are stopped, their will is broken, and their pride is emptied out. God never saved a proud sinner, and he never will. It would be against his word to save a person that is so proud of themselves that they don't think that they're as bad as others. Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. The publican who got salvation was the one who admitted his guilt. The Pharisee, he had no need. He was good living. He kept the commandments. He did the best he could. Yet he never got the blessing. Too proud to seek a hiding place. Friend, tonight, God desires your salvation. That's why we preach the gospel. It's God's desire that all men should be saved. But it's God's desire that you should be saved. And that you should come to the knowledge of salvation. Now from Genesis chapter 2, we have read of a living soul. God formed man of the dust of the ground. There was that form of dust. God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living soul. We did not spring from monkeys. We came from the hand of God, from the clay, from this earth. And when God made man, he made him without sin. Man was not a sinner when God formed him, nor when he brought Eve to Adam. But there they were, and then sin came in. But God breathed into that form the breath of life, and man became a living soul. You and I are living. This piece of clay or dust may go back to dust. But my friend, you've got a soul that the undertaker will not cover. You and I have a soul that's going to live forever, either in heaven's glory or in hell's dark gloom. But you have a living soul. Your soul has a destiny. Your soul will have a duration, and that is forever. It will never have an end. You and I had a beginning, but we will never have an end. We trust that impressions may be made on your heart tonight, that soul which you possess is undying, is ever living, is going to be in conscious existence throughout the eternal ages, unending ages, either with Christ in heaven or down in hell without him. May I ask you kindly, which place are you traveling to tonight? Is it heaven's glory or hell's gloom? I remember meeting a man one night in Patamagoose. He had come to some meeting, but his son was in an assembly fellowship
about 100 miles away in Halifax. We were leaving that park for a few months, and I said to him at the close of the meeting, I said, Mr. Kane, will I meet you in heaven? He looked me straight in the eye. We like people to look you straight in the eye without hiding anything. He said, Mr. Bingham, not the way that I'm going tonight. I won't meet you in heaven. Well, we had our holiday. We were back home a short time. And I attended that dear man's funeral. I don't know where his soul is tonight. But at least that night he was conscious that he was not going to be in heaven. Now we preached about Balaam the other night. Balaam was going the wrong way. Balaam knew he was going the wrong way, and yet he didn't turn. We're convinced in these meetings that there are souls who know they're going the wrong way, and that they are not saved, and that they are going to hell. Yet, they're still going on. Going the wrong way without a Savior, going to a hell that will never burn out, and yet still going on, knowing that they need to be saved. Oh, dear soul tonight, it is high time to awake out of sleep. The coming of the Lord is drawing very near. And if the Lord should come tonight, as far as you are concerned, heaven's door is shut and will never be opened. You will be outside and outside forever. We trust that that soul of yours will be given a chance. God is giving you an opportunity to get right with God tonight. He wants to save you. He has sent His Son that you might be saved. You and I have a living soul that will exist for eternity. Then we read of a loved soul. Here's the prophet. Here's Hezekiah, he says, behold, for peace I have great bitterness. But thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sin behind thy back. Now here's the John 3:16 of the Old Testament. He says, behold, for peace I have great bitterness. That is, there was trouble came into his life. Do you know anything about soul trouble? Trouble about your soul? That's what this man says. Behold, for peace I have great bitterness. Trouble in his soul. Uneasy in his sin. Out of Christ without a Savior. But then the love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from going down to the pit. Let me remind you kindly, if you land in hell, you won't go there on love. For God so loved the world, and your soul, God desires its salvation. God wants to save you, and he wants to save you tonight. Is there one in our gathering, and you have come to this place? Well, I must be saved, and I must get saved tonight. That's the place that Zacchaeus got to. He sought to see Jesus, who he was. His mind was made up. I'm not going to rest until I know, until I have found the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 16, the Philippian jailer exactly the same. It says that he called for a light and he sprang in. He meant business. He was awakened to see his need of salvation. And they pointed him to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. For friends, there's no salvation in any other. There's no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. But here this man says, Thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. Every person is saved, they have been delivered from the pit of hell, delivered from it, and made fit for God's heaven. Why? God says, I've cast all my sin behind my back. You see, sin is involved in where you and I spend eternity. If your sins are forgiven, it will be in heaven. If they are not forgiven, it will be in hell. Are your sins forgiven? Are they all forgiven? Past sin, present sin, future sin. That's the salvation that God has for you tonight. He wants to cancel all your sins, blot them out completely, put them behind His back, never to remember them again anymore. Friend, what a salvation. Thou hast in love to my soul, God's love expressed at Calvary, where He took our sin, laid them upon His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's my substitute. That is, He died in my stead. The Apostle Paul could say clearly, the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. You see, He took the place as if He was the only sinner in all the world. The Son of God loved Him and gave Himself for Him. Here's a man who took the place of the sinner. Thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. How could God deliver a soul, even our meeting tonight? My friend, through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, accomplished upon the cross. For he that hath the Son hath life, and every person who is saved, they know they have a time when they were saved. They have a place where they got this great manner set, and they have a manner how that they came to Christ and put their trust in Him. Remember a time in your life when you put your trust in God's beloved Son? I look back 38 years. It's as fresh in my mind as last night. I didn't see any bright light. I didn't see any great feeling. But yet God, through His Word, by His Spirit, showed me that when the Lord Jesus Christ was lifted up upon the cross to die for sin, it was for my sin that the Savior died. God punished His Son in my stead that I make the sacrifice. My salvation is very simple. There is nothing complicated. There is nothing vague. There is nothing foggy about God's salvation. And every person who puts their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone, they have got it. They've got that salvation. How do we know we've got it? By the Word of God. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Do I hear somebody say, well, I believe in the Son, but I don't have everlasting life? There's no such a thing in the Word of God. There are those who believe and they have. For believing is having. There are those who don't believe and they don't have. But you know whether you have salvation or not. I used to think, well, I believe in the Son, but I don't have everlasting life. I had to find out that I was in the dark, in the darkness of my sin, blinded by the god of this world. And the moment I took God of His Word, that very moment, I was linked to Christ, and I trusted Him as my personal Savior. I'll never forget a great transaction took place when I, as a poor sinner, rested my all for eternity on the Word of God. We stand tonight on the very edge of eternity. What have we got for heaven? A promise from God. The God that cannot lie. It's impossible for God to lie. And what God says, that's what's going to be. He says, whosoever believeth in Him, in Christ, should not perish, but have everlasting life. We have read of a loved soul. You are loved tonight. Loved by God. God so loved you that He gave His only begotten Son. Then we read about a soul leaving. That is leaving the body. Here's Rachel come to the point of death. She's bringing a boy into the world. And she breathed her life. And she goes out into eternity. Her soul was then departing before she died. And that's a trouble moment. In a person's life, we have watched people come to the end of life's journey. And then finally they breathe their last. And they're gone forever. Many a time I think, whenever I come, the last look in life, close your eyes, waken in eternity. What's it going to be like? Loved ones will weep over my silent face. Dear ones will clasp me with sad embrace. Shadows and darkness shall fill the place 5 minutes after I die. Their sorrowing faces I shall not see. Theirs with sprinkles shall not reach me. But where, oh, where shall my spirit be 5 minutes after I die? Mine will be in heaven. Where will yours be? Rachel, while her soul was in departing, before she died, it went out into eternity, never to come back again. You and I are going out. Some have gone out since we came and gathered in this building tonight. Your turn is coming. Mine will come unless the Lord comes. We are looking for the upper ticket, not the under ticket. But whatever is first, thank God, we're ready to go. Are you ready? Have you got peace with God? Do you know your sins forgiven? Has God cast your sins behind His back? How would you know? Only by the Word of God. You read of a lost soul. Oh, that's our earnest prayer tonight. That not one in this gathering will lose her soul. What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? There's no compensation if you lose your soul. If a man loses his house, he's an insurance money. He'll always get money back for it. But if you lose your soul, there's no compensation. It's the greatest loss possible, the loss of your soul. Friends, tonight, don't rest till you get to Christ. You'll never be sorry. Never. Never in time. And certainly not in eternity.